Yesterday, the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal reported that the U.S. lifted a key restriction on the use of this weapon. Then Trump said that Tomahawks, nevertheless, will not be supplied. And just an hour ago, Zelensky again says that Ukraine will receive weapons that will strike at almost 3,000 kilometers. In your view, is this still an escalation?
This is an attempt at escalation. But if strikes against Russian territory are carried out with such weapons, the response will be very serious, if not stunning. Let them think about that.
Doctor, I think you had intimated that you found that to be just almost cowardice, in the sense that it was just bluster, and he really didn't mean what he said because he knows the state of affairs regarding those weapons.
Well, exactly. He was making himself look pure, bold, and decisive, and brave,
right,
in defending something which no longer needed defense, because the latest state is of deliveries on Tomahawks is it's not going to be delivered.
Can I stop you right there? I just want to hammer home this point. What I have here is a cut of President Trump making that so very, very clear. And this was back last Friday, is when you'll see repetitiveness on Trump's part.
We need Tomahawks and we need a lot of other things that we've been sending over the last 4 years to Ukraine. It's beyond the money. You know, we need Tomahawks and we need a lot of other weapons. A lot of bad things can happen. Tomahawks are a big deal. But one thing I have to say, we want Tomahawks also. We don't want to be giving away things that we need.
Now, could he have been more clear, Doctor?
No, he's clear. And that is why I say that the threats that Putin was making, well, if you proceed, this was nonsense, because it's already clear that they will not be sent. And what he's not addressing is the rest of the problem, he's not addressing the issue of the confiscation, essentially confiscation, of Russian frozen assets that is still being debated in Europe, but very likely will be passed. It didn't make it into the 19th round of sanctions yesterday because of the Belgian objections that the country is not being protected sufficiently by fellow EU member states from possible Russian response, angry response. But the problem is severe. The problem is not is more than is described in the press. The problem is that the confiscation of essential confiscation is a very subtle legal turn given to make it seem as though it's just collateral and so forth. In effect, it's confiscation. And it's a distribution to Kiev in one way or another is intended to prolong the war for 3 or 4 more years. This was stated almost explicitly by the Polish foreign minister Sikorski last week. The idea is that it will not be given to him as one lump sum. It will be dealt out to Ukraine slowly in various forms, but to keep them engaged. You can buy a lot of mercenaries with 145 billion euros. So to say that they don't have any men to fight is to miss the obvious. Mm-hmm. You can buy a lot of drones. And I'll get to the question of drones versus rocket missiles in a moment, because this also is confusing the public. And it's intentionally done by Zelensky, because he wants to get NATO into the war. If you say we need long-range missiles, then you're getting NATO into the war. Right. The reality is that Ukrainians are doing a pretty good job causing destruction in Russia using drones,
right,
for which they have British, particularly British, intelligence assistance. They smashed up a lot of Russian refineries. And so the need for these Tomahawks is not there. It's only to get the U.S. and Europe into the war. But then let's go back to the money question, $145 billion. If Ukraine is kept alive for 3 more years of fighting, it's intended to be a big distraction to keep the Russians occupied with them while Europe rebuilds its military, both manpower and hardware. Of course, how wise that is, how valid it is also questionable. Why I say questionable? Because the Russians have stated explicitly that if there's going to be a war with NATO, it will not be a tank war, it will not be a drone war, it'll be a nuclear war. The Russians have said, we will not fight you in the trenches. We will obliterate you. So the whole discussion in Europe is on phony basis. It's being sold to the public on a phony basis. Maybe it's good for Rheinmetall and other German arms manufacturers. But there's a lot of falseness in the public space about who is doing what and why. And I'm trying to bring a little bit of light to what I see is really going on.
I'd like to read to the viewers something that you had written to me about Putin's stance right now and where you see him and where you'd like to see him go. And this is what you had wrote. You said, it is high time for President Putin to recognize that in this age when Israel and its U.S. European backers have been trampling on international law by the genocide that's ongoing now in Gaza, by its aggression against Lebanon and Syria, that it is absurd for Russia to hold back on the violence needed to end the Ukraine war without a moment's concern about what others may think.
I stand by those words. I am very unhappy with the way he's conducting this war. And I say my personal opinion is not relevant here, but when I listen to people within Russia of great authority who are saying exactly that, they're not saying that he should go, and I'm not saying he should go. And it would be I have no right to say that. It's a Russian decision. But he is showing, and I'll use the word, I call this lèse majesté, but here we go, cowardice. It is pure cowardice, the way he's responding to Trump.
Appreciate your bluntness there. Let's just return to Putin one more time from that same news conference, talking about what he sees the future.
The President of the United States has decided to cancel or postpone this meeting. Rather, he is speaking about postponing this meeting. Well, what can I say? Dialogue is always better than any confrontation, than any disputes, or all the more so than war. Therefore, we have always supported this, the continuation of dialogue, and we support it now.
So, Doctor, what's that mean for the future? Are these two going to sit down, or is Rubio and Lavrov going to sit down? Where is it going, do you think?
Well, look, I have said that Putin risks being Gorbachev too. But let me use an historical reference that unfortunately has been abused and over decades by everyone calling for appeasement. But if there ever was a Chamberlain speech in Russia, we heard it yesterday. That was the Peace in Our Time speech of Chamberlain from the mouth of Putin. It was appeasement, and nothing good will come out of that.
Does he have the fortitude, Putin, calling it fortitude, to finish off the war on the battlefield?
I would hope so, but there's reason to doubt it. When he made his tough-sounding speech this is a week ago, and then this is the night before, this is a Thursday before the Friday meeting that Trump had with Zelensky. It sounded like he had turned from his go slow, utterly cautious approach to an attrition war to something more energetic and more decisive and more threatening. And now he went back on himself. Yes, that's what the remarks that you have put up on the screen indicate to me that in this dispute between hardliners and softliners, he has stepped back among the softliners. And I see that this is very threatening for Russia's future and risky for all of us, because it gives the wrong signals to the war party in Europe that they can succeed, and that they can push this and themselves and us straight into World War III.
Please, you want to check out the doctor's latest book, War Diaries, Volume 1, The Russia-Ukraine War, 22-23.
I expect in Q1 26, I will put out Volume 2 and Volume 3 of Force of War 24 and 25. I would hope that it ends there. But from what I've heard from Putin in the last week or two, I'm worried it won't. And if this goes on indeed for 3 more years, as it could, then Russia could easily be militarily destroyed by a revived Europe. It sounds peculiar today, and people say, oh, how could it be the European youth doesn't want to fight? You have to consider the very intense propaganda going on in Europe. You have to consider the utter foolishness of professionals, of well-educated people who are the upper classes in European countries. I know who they are. I'm a member of a prestigious French-speaking Royal, is the name of the club, in Brussels. And I sat at a dinner or lunch that was given a year ago when the representative of the Minister of Defense was supposed to speak to us. He was occupied on political matters because elections were coming up. And an assistant came who was the man responsible for HR decisions and so forth, and told us how Belgium has a hard time raising its military because the budget is limited and 80% of the budget goes to pensions and salaries and not much is left over for operations or investments. But we all listened to that and were amused. And people at the table were concerned because they're all patriotic. And they were asking him, well, can't we have, will we be going into the call-up of young men? Will there be a draft? And he said, well, right now we can't afford it. Well, look at what's going on now. As Europe, including Belgium, is all raising military budgets under the advice and pressure of Donald Trump, the money is going to be there. And when I see the people around me, these matrons, shall we call them, in a pejorative sense, sitting, who are very comfortably situated next to their husbands at the table, are saying, a draft will be good for our sons.
Wow.
Because they need some discipline. You know, they are just living in a dream world. They don't realize where their sons are going to be sent to be slaughtered.
Wow. Discipline. Discipline. They refer to it as discipline. Wow.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
That's scary. Well, Doctor, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. It was excellent. And just want to tell you how grateful I am for your input and your research. It was wonderful.
Well, it's very kind of you to say that. And I hope that these words are sobering. I don't want to alarm people. I'm not walking around with a sandwich board saying the end is nigh.
Yeah.
But some action has to be taken by people who understand the risks that are involved before they proceed too much further.
Yep. Agreed. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Remaining unintimidated, uncompromised.